So we're jumping back into our word series in Ephesians. Thank you. So I got a little whoop from somebody down here. That was nice. So thank you. So we're coming to the close, six chapters. We've done five together. We're coming to the sixth chapter. And we often have readers who will read Ephesians or whichever chapter we're in as we're reading. But I'm going to read with us today as we read and read for us. And so as we would always do when we read together, I would invite you just to stand together. Is I read from Ephesians chapter 6, just praying as we read the power of God, believing that as we read, somebody's not even going to need a message at the end of this. You're going to go, man, God just spoke to me through the power of his word. And we're believing for that as we read together. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord and not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace be to the brothers. And love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Thanks be to God for the power of his word. Can you say that? Thanks be to God for the power of his word. And everybody gave a little clap for God's word in Ephesians chapter 6. Yes. Woo! Thank you so much. You can be seated. Now, that's the way to read the Word of God right there. So gather the family around, pick a reader, everybody yes and amen, and clap at the end. Isn't that better than, okay, I got to read my Bible now. Okay, here we go. Children, obey your parents and the Lord. This is where it says, honor your father and mother, for they be well with you. All right, great. Did that. Did they check? We're good. You know, before we jump in, we got great messages coming from Ephesians chapter 6. I had this brilliant idea because I'm seminary-trained communicator and pastor. That my first text in here is honor your father and mother. And we're a week away from Mother's Day. So I had this brilliant revelation that maybe we should scoot that over to Mother's Day. Hello? Yeah? Good plan? So get ready, moms. You're going to get honored next Sunday at Passion City Church. And get ready, kids, because you are going to get a huge opportunity to honor your mother and to honor your father next week. This week, we're going to paint a big backdrop for what it means to step into the Word of God. And here's why. Because in my heart, as our pastor, I would like to think that in the month of May, everybody in our house could lean intentionally toward God in His Word. So we're not going to back up and do the whole survey thing. How many of you spend 5 minutes a day in the Word of God? How many spend 10 minutes a day in the Word of God? How many spend 15 minutes a day in the Word of God? How many don't even open the Word of God? Really, why don't we just flip it over to the positive and say, what if we just kind of leaned intentionally in and said for the rest of the month of May, today's May 4th, that we are going to purposefully lean towards knowing God in the pages of His Word. And I want to make sure we all can lean into that together because I don't take it for granted that everybody here has done 17 Beth Moore Bible studies and knows everything there is about life. Some of you have a Bible, but you're not 100% sure how to read the Bible. Some of you believe in the Bible, you just don't really know how to interact with Scripture. And so I want to just start there today, maybe encourage all of us a little bit so that we can lean toward this last great chapter together over the month of May, and we can all purposefully say, this month, I'm going to intentionally put knowing God in the pages of Scripture on the front burner of my life. Anybody feeling like that's something that you might want to kind of lean in together? Maybe you're here today going, hey, I'm already there. Every day, I am sitting and soaking with God in the Word of God. But all of us can lean a little further in, and I'd love to catch us all up together. So today I want to do a little backdrop, and I want to begin by just talking about what God's purpose and hope is in Scripture. You know, when I was growing up, I used to hear things like this, that people would say, well, you know, God's Word is like an owner's manual for how to do life. Anybody heard that before? Seen it on a church sign somewhere? Life's not working? Check the owner's manual. Our services are at 8:30, 11, and 4:30, you know? And you're like, oh, revelation, pull the car in. You know, I want to get on board with that. We've all heard that. It's kind of like God's Word is the how-to manual for how to do life. This one's for a Toyota. And so if you have a Toyota in the state of Maine, this has got all your warranties and your rights and your notifications. So I know everybody needs to know what those are, right? No, we don't need to know that. So we throw that away right away when we get the car. Maybe you're into small engine repair. And if you are, you want to get a hold of this right here. It's Haynes Tech Book on small engine repair up to and including 5-horsepower engines. So if you're working on anything 5-horsepower and under, this is your manual right here. So if the weed eater breaks, you can go in here. Hopefully you can look it up. Maybe you can find what you need and you can get a tune-up, some routine maintenance, or you can fix the problem. And there's all kinds of these in life. We got this one here, which I love. I love our church. We covered over the brand name of the car right there because we're not going to get sued by anybody because this goes out on the internet. Isn't that cool? So they make Spectras and Sportage and Sophia, but we're not saying who makes it. But those are the models they make right there. But we're not naming anybody, and I'm going to cover the emblem on the front right there. So anyway, so if you got one of those and you need to know how to fix your ignition system, it tells you that in here. I've read a lot of it. It's pretty fascinating stuff. And so people have thought that's the Scripture. And so if life breaks down, what am I going to do? I'm going to probably go back to church and I'm going to try to get back in the Scripture because somewhere in here, in this owner's manual, I can fix whatever got broken in my life. And that's kind of the way it is. It's a reference book on a shelf where those books are. And we know where it is if we need it. A second way I think we've looked at Scripture growing up is that Scripture's a map to help me get from point A to point B. And maybe some of you came today hoping that God would tell you, how do I get from here to here? Because that's my big decision today. And maybe in here, that's what God's going to do. And it's kind of like, the old school days. I don't know if you know this or not, but there used to be something called maps in the world. I don't know. Does anybody remember maps? Anybody? Yeah, you can't buy these anymore, by the way. The little lady that talks to you on your GPS, she put these people out of business. And so don't go looking for one of these. This is an old school one. Anybody like me grow up and in the glove box of your car, you had about 6 or 10 of these? Was that not amazing? Were those not the good days? I mean, I like smartphones and all that's great. And I love, all the little Google Maps and stuff. But I'm telling you, when our family would set out on a trip, because I was the map guy, my dad was the driver, I was the navigator. And I can read a map. Some people can, some people can't. It's a spiritual gift. And some people have it, some people don't. How many of you do not have the gift of reading a map? You don't even know how to fold one of these back up. You're just like, no, here, you take it. I don't know. But, there's a lot of amazing stuff on here. Like, you don't need GPS if you got this. It tells you how far it is between every exit on the freeway. Did you know that? So you can kind of add up how far it is from here to the four exits down. And it's all right here on the map. So, our family would load up. And let's just say we were going to down here to Waycross. Has anybody ever been to Waycross, Georgia before? Ooh, look, a lot of Waycross people. That's pretty awesome. So we're going to load up and go to Waycross. And I mean, there's a lot of ways you can go. About 100 ways you could go on here. Well, there's probably an infinite number of ways you can go. You can go through Minnesota if you want to go to Waycross. But, we'd look on here and I'd be telling Dad what's going on and telling him what's coming up and how far to the next thing. And, did anybody with me on this? Am I the only map nerd in here? Anybody love the moment? Did anybody else love the moment on vacation when you got to turn the map over to the next section and you're like, yes, sir, we are getting somewhere now? Anybody besides me, please tell me there's one person. Thank you. Well, here's what people would think. They thought, this is the map. And so if I get in church and I get a Bible and I get a scripture, I'll fold it out and it'll open all the way out and I'll be able to go, oh, this is how I get from high school to grad school to the job. It's all right here. But that's maybe not the whole way of scripture. We used to have Bibles that had maps in them. Anybody have a Bible in the old days that had maps in it? Had maps of the Holy Land and all the journeys of the Apostle Paul. And you're like, yeah, those are all great. I wanted the Bible that had the map of my journey in the back of it. here's the journey of Louis's life and where you're going. Other people have kind of thought that Scripture is like a blueprint. Some like it's an owner's manual, and that's where all the answers are when things go wrong. Some it's the map, and it'll show you how to go wherever it is you're going in your life. Others have looked at it like a blueprint. I've got some blueprints here of actually the building that we're sitting in. So we dreamed about this place. It was an abandoned warehouse. We came up with some plans and ideas, and eventually somebody started drawing them out. There's the auditorium that you're sitting in right now. And we made blueprints and more blueprints and more intricate sets of blueprints so that when the builders were ready, we didn't just walk around in here and go, how about an auditorium there and maybe Passion Kids over there and maybe a big long corridor that comes out of an oval to the front here. No, they wanted to know what are the blueprints so I can see how big every room is, all the architectural details, the structural information, so that then we can build this thing that you want to build. And I think a lot of people have looked at Scripture and said, somewhere in here, isn't there the blueprint for everything that's going to happen in my life? Okay, maybe not that. I'll just take this year. Can I just get a 2014 blueprint? And I want to offer to you today that maybe God's Word is a place to go for wisdom for life. And maybe God's Word does ultimately get us to Waycross. And if you stay in it for the whole duration of life, you are going to see God build something amazing. But its primary purpose is not to be an owner's manual that we consult when things go wrong. Primary purpose isn't that it is going to tell you how to get from point A to point B over the next 7 years of your life. And the primary purpose of Scripture is not so that we can see the final product of all of our life and know how to build the whole story of our lives right now. And I'll tell you why. Because we are fallen human beings. And if God gave us the plans, He would never see us again. If God gave us the map, we would get in the car and start driving. What God wants most from you and me is not to be Wikipedia for our lives. But God wants a relationship with you and a relationship with me. God's primary passion for our lives is not to help us fix things when they fall apart. His primary passion for our lives is to be in our lives so that we would know him and be known by him, share a relationship with him, and walk together with him. And that's how Scripture best works in our lives. I want you to look at a passage of Scripture with me. It's found in Psalm 119. And I want you to look at this. I sort of got motivated by this, by my wife getting ready for the Grove this week. And it just tied right into what I was already working on for the Word series. It's so beautiful. Psalm 119, if you have it, turn with me to verse 105. Isn't that cool? I just like saying that. Turn to verse 105. What do you mean, verse 105? Yeah, there are 176 verses in the 119th Psalm. It's broken down by the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and for every letter of the Hebrew alphabet is a section of the Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter in the longest book in Scripture, and the chapter is dedicated to our interaction with God through his word. I think there's a little clue there for us, people, that the longest book in Scripture, Psalms, and the longest chapter in Scripture, Psalm 119, is all about the living, breathing word of God. And when you come to Psalm 119, 105, this is what you read. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. I've taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. I've suffered much, and I think we could all say that, but preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, O Lord, the willing praise of my mouth, and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. I mean, that's a psalm right there. But that's just the none of the Hebrew alphabet. And it starts with the clear purpose of how God sees Scripture working in our life. And it's not as something to be consulted when we have a problem. It's not a map just to get us from point A to point B. It's not a blueprint so that we can kind of know what God's going to do in the future in our lives. It really is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. The main picture of Scripture is a light to illuminate the path that you and I are walking on. So not so much a blueprint, not so much a map, not so much an owner's manual, but more like a lantern. That the very word of God, which is God, the very word of God, which is the person of God, would light up our journey as we walk with God through life. This is the picture of the role of Scripture in your life, in my life. When we read Psalm 119, it sounds poetic, and we remember the old Amy Grant song, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." And some old school people, I like that. I like it when all the younger kids are like, what happened? We don't know what's going on. This is not young Jeezy. What's going on here? I don't know where we just went. It's beautiful. Because we don't get it. But in the day of the psalmist, no headlights, no billboard lights, no neon lights, no street lights. When it got dark, just lantern light. In the day of Jesus, no flashlights, no torchlight of any man-made ability. Just a lantern light. And when the darkness came, and trust me, the darkness comes, God said, my word will light your path. When the darkness comes, there it comes, your word will light my path. Meaning, I want to be there for the journey. And on the journey, me and you, together, through the word, I want to light not the next 9 years of your life. I want to light the next step of your life. And if you let me light the next step of your life, then we can light the next step of your life. And in the end, we will have illuminated all the days of your life. You can't illuminate all the days of your life today. You can only ask God to illuminate the step today. I love this in the dark. I love the beauty of this in the dark. And I love smartphones in the dark, because some of your faces are lit up right now because you've got your smartphone scripture open. And look, it's lighting up you. Isn't that beautiful? There's little people lit up right now all over the room. Literally lit up by the word of God. And that's the picture and the hope of God for your life and for my life. Not something that we refer to, but someone that we walk with in life that illuminates the path of life. And we all need that. I remember when we went to Africa for the first time, we went to the country of Botswana. And we arrived in the capital of Gaborone, and we met up with some people there who'd been living there for a little while, some Africans and some Americans, and they started telling us stories. As soon as we got to Gaborone, Botswana, they started telling us snake stories. And I'm not a snake person, okay? And they started telling us snake stories, and we're like, oh, my word. I mean, the first story, cobras. They have cobras in Botswana. I mean, we're dealing with copperheads and water moccasins, and then every, you know, king snakes, who cares, and those black racer snakes, who cares. But, I mean, we only got two things, and not that big, and you can kill them pretty easily. A cobra, on the other hand, is fierce. And this guy says, yeah, our friends had a cobra come into their kitchen, slithered in through the window, went up on the wall. You know those plate hangers you have in your kitchen on the wall, you know, with the plates in them? Went up and hung itself over the plate hangers because the sun was shining in on that wall. They came home from church on a Sunday, walked in the kitchen, and there's about a 10-foot cobra draped on the plate hangers. And they're telling this story, and I'm like, You know what it's like to spend an entire 10 days somewhere, and you're looking around the whole time. Where is it hanging? Little kid comes in the house. Mommy, Daddy, the purple snake's in the yard. They told him, if you ever see the purple snake, immediately come in the house and tell Mommy and Daddy. Mommy, Daddy, purple snake's in the yard. Oh, man, there's a cobra in the yard. Thank you. They told us about the boom sling. The boom sling goes up in the tree, waits till you walk under it. It falls on you, wraps itself around you, and kills you. And then they start talking about the dreaded black mamba, the three-step snake. It can grow up to 15, 18 feet long, and it can go for short distances, 40 miles an hour, reared up on its body, and can chase down a human being, and when it bites you, you take three steps, and then you die. Welcome to Botswana. Man, you're talking about some paranoid people. So we went out to this little village called Cerule. Amazing little village, not a whole lot going on in Cerule. There's a school there that draws students from all over the region. And it has little sort of like huts where the students would sleep at night. No air conditioning, no bathroom, but kind of like dormitory things. And it has a classrooms and a cafeteria auditorium. And that's where we met all the Baptist young people of Botswana, came to this event. Chris was leading worship, and I was speaking. Shelly was there. We had a team of people with us. And when we got there, it was pretty amazing. They put Chris and the band in one of the dormitory kind of things with no bathroom and no air conditioning. So that was good. So that's what the musicians got. They put me, on the other hand, because I was a speaker, in one of the new apartments they had built for the faculty. They built 10 brand new apartments, little small, you know, 600 square foot, kitchen, bathroom, bedroom, kitchen, all in one little room kind of apartments. But they were bricked in, had roofs on them, had plumbing, and had electricity. And we got one of those for the week. They said, we're going to put you in there. And I'm like, hello, thank you very much, Chris Tomlin. When you're walking out, you know, outrunning the black mamba to the bathroom at night, you know, I'll be praying for you down here in the enclosed faculty cottage. The problem was that the faculty cottages were about 150 yards from the cafeteria auditorium, And we would break up for our meeting at night about 10 o'clock. And in Cerulli, it's dark at 10 o'clock. Pitch black, no lights, dark. And there's just a path to our apartment. And then they said, as you're walking, be careful, because there's one more snake. It's a lazy snake. And so what it does is it lays in the path, and it waits for someone to step on it, and then it bites them and kills them. It's called a puff adder. So watch for the puff adders when you're going back to your apartment tonight, 150 yards, down a sandy, dusty path at night in the pitch black. Oh, and here's your flashlight. Man, I'm telling you what, you would have thought Shelly and I had gotten married that day. We were so inseparable. I mean, she is like clinging to me, and I've got the flashlight out. And I don't mean, you know, we're walking with flashlights like, yeah, yeah. No, we're like, we are looking. Is that it right there? No, I don't know. I was kicking some dirt over there, see if that thing, no, that's not it. Okay, that's a rock, okay? That's not a puff adder. I mean, every night, the thing would end, we'd be like, praise you, God, it's amazing, sharing the gospel, these people being with you, it's so amazing. It's also, oh, God, we got to walk to that thing now. Lord, please, we don't want to die at the hands of a puff adder. And we'd walk. I'm not kidding you. We were literally walking like this. It takes about 45 minutes to get there. And it really, that's what comes back to my mind. It's like, man, I need to know what's in front of me. I need to know where I'm going. I need to know that I'm not going to step on a puff adder, and I need to get to the place we're going to. And I was as focused. I mean, I didn't care about 20 feet ahead of me. I just needed to know that I was good for the 3 feet in front of me. And if I was good for 3 feet in front of me, we were good. And that's what God's looking for. God is looking for people who want to know him and know that he wants to know them and that he wants to walk with them, not just drop them information out of the sky. But he wants to walk through life with them, illuminating their path through his voice in his word. And that's the word of God. Primarily, it's about the steps, not the whole. That's number one. It's not about what's God's plan for my whole life. It's really about, God, lead me now to take the next step. And I'm going to look for you in the pages of your word to take the next step. Secondly, it's about living more than learning. That doesn't mean we don't learn from the word of God, but it's not an academic process. It's not a classroom. It's not Bible knowledge. We're not looking for Bible knowledge. We're looking for a new way of living. And the new way of living comes from walking with God and seeing through his word who he is and who we are in him. That's what 2 Timothy is all about. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, Paul's coming to the end of his life, and Paul's been pouring into this young minister that he's been discipling and leading and building up named Timothy. And at the very end, Paul says to him, beginning in verse 10, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance, my persecution, suffering, what kind of things have happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions that I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." And then look at verse 16. All Scripture. So Paul didn't really fully even know all of what he was saying in that. But now we do. We have all of Scripture right here. He says, all Scripture is God-breathed. Isn't that amazing? He said, all scripture is God-breathed. It may have been man-written, but it was God-inspired. It may have been through the hands and the instruments of human beings that God wrote the words, but it was the inspiration of God who actually breathed out the words. And all this scripture is God-breathed. The word is theopneustos, that it came out of the breath and the inspiration of the Spirit of God coming through the hands and the pen of people onto the page. So what does that mean? It means we're not looking at words on a page, we're looking at breath on a page. So we don't dive in just to get learning, we dive in to get oxygen for life. We're not just looking for a nugget, we're looking for a breath, because in this page, in these words, in this living God on a page, is the breath of God breathed into these scriptures. And when he breathes out of these scriptures, he breathes in to me and he breathes in to you. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that better than, okay, now I'm going to, you know, kind of learn something. And yes, we do learn something. Absolutely, we learn something. And that's what he said above. He said, don't stop learning, because you've learned from me, my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance, my persecutions, and my sufferings. You've learned a lot from me, Timothy. But here's what I want to leave you with. All this right here is God-breathed. And because it's God-breathed, look what it does. Because it's God-breathed, it's useful or profitable, maybe your translation says, for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness. I wanted to get around that training in righteousness phrase, so I went and looked it up in the Greek, and what it says is more than so that you can just act right and do right. What it really means, and the connotation there of training in righteousness, means so that you can understand what God's picture is for the way things ought to be. And the way that you see things the way they ought to be is by breathing in the words of God. And it reorders everything, because we're living in a world that's continually dumbing down things from the way they ought to be to the way men think they should be. And God says, for you to be able to understand the way your life is designed, the purpose that was intended for it, the beauty that can come from it, you've got to breathe in the word of God. And it's going to, when you do that, shape your living, not just cause you to have some learning. Our goal in May, if we get in the Word of God, is not to get to the end of May and say, well, I did Bible study all of May. Isn't that amazing? The goal is at the end of May, we would be able to say, my life has been modified. My life has been transformed. Change has come to me by breathing in the Word of God. The God-breathed word off the page. The third thing about the word of God, not only is it about our steps more than about the whole, it's about living more than about learning, but it's about knowing so that you can know. I love this idea. It's about knowing God so that you can know God. It's about knowing God's voice so that you can know God's voice. And the way that we learn God's voice and to know God's voice is to know his word. It begins by rooting ourselves in his word. So how do you hear God? How can you hear God? How can you live a life of hearing God? Live a life of being connected to God in his word. Get that idea that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm not going to just go on Sunday and get a little bit, or go a couple of mornings a week and get a little devotional grab. I want your word to be the thing that is shining on my path every single step of the day. And if you will commit your life to doing that, and if I will commit my life to seeking God in the pages of this book, I want to promise you this, that over time, in a cumulative way, you will be a person who hears from God. You'll be a person who can say, I know God. I know him so well that I can hear his voice all the time in my life, because I've rooted my life in his voice, which is his living word. So how do you gauge what you think God's saying to you? You gauge that by knowing his word. That's how you gauge when you think that God is speaking. You know that because of the fabric and the framework of what God
has said. And those things work together in a beautiful way. So can God impress us and lead us by the Spirit? Can God do that as we're moving through the day? Can God impress things on our heart? And can God lead us by the Spirit? Absolutely, he does that. How does he do that? Well, he does that best when we rest in that foundation of his word. And that's the hope for you and me, is that as we plant here, we will get to know God. And when we know God, we will hear his voice. It's more than about the journey. It's about here, right now, today, the steps. It's more than about learning. It's about living. And it's more than just, you know, about knowing God even. It's about knowing God to the degree that I can hear God's voice in my life. The people who hear God best are the people who know his word most. And that relationship is a beautiful way for us to walk out God's word being a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So where do we begin? I want to give you a couple of options. Maybe you're new to faith, new to church, new to life. If you'd like to lean in with us for May, I want to give you an option and a challenge. And it is this, that you would make May your month of journeying with God through the Gospel of Mark. So if you're new to faith, you've got a Bible, but you don't really, it's a little bit intimidating because there's a bunch of stuff in there and you don't know where to start. Start with the Gospel of Mark. New Testament opens with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the Gospel of Mark is the easiest way to journey through the life of Jesus from his birth to his resurrection. And so if you'll just commit to that, and you can lean in. You read a half a chapter a day, or you can read the whole book through a couple of times in May, or you can stop and settle in different places, but just commit that. Say, I don't really know much about the Bible. I've never really done a Bible study before. I've heard bits and pieces and little snippets here and there. Just commit to Mark for the month of May and ask God as you step into Mark, God, I want to know you. I want to hear from you. I want to know if you're real. I want to know who you are. And God will open your eyes to the truth of who he is through the pages of his word. That's what the Spirit of God does through the living word of God. Ladies in the house, you guys are already Grove people. You're already on board. You're memorizing scripture together as a force, and that's going to be amazing. On the Sunday, we have all the ladies in the church quote that together. It's going to be powerful. You're memorizing Psalm 84. How you doing on Psalm 84? Any ladies already done, finished, got it cold right now? Anybody want to give it to us, start to finish, stone cold right now? Isn't that awesome, though? The ladies are memorizing Psalm 84, guys. Isn't that cool? And they're learning about, like, sort of where the key concepts of our house come from. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked forever. I mean, beautiful psalm. So, ladies, you got something to kind of dig into for May, and you can keep going verse by verse, line by line, walking with God, asking God, show me, because the beauty of the word of God is it can take you someplace new through the very same verse many different times in life. That's the power of the God-breathed word on the page. It's speaking into and over our lives. And for all of us in the house, guys and all of us together, we can all do Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 is a really nice journey for us for the rest of the month. Ephesians 6 has in it 24 verses. It's May the 4th right now, so that will get us to before the end of May. If you did a verse a day, and that if you just take one verse a day, focus on that verse, you say, you know, Louis, I don't know. I'm kind of older in life. I don't know what's going to really do me to get the thing around there that says, you know, honor your father and mother, that it will go well with you. You know, my mom and my dad have passed away, so I don't know how that's going to work. You just say to God, I want to meet you in this passage of scripture, and I want you to open my eyes up to your world and to your kingdom in this passage. You will be surprised at what God can unpack through a verse that you think might not apply to you. I've been in a study of 1 Kings and 2 Kings, woo, and now into 1 Chronicles. Man, it's just a lot of lists of a lot of stuff and a lot of people's names and a whole bunch of people that did this and people that did that. And you're like, oh, man, Chronicles. You know, there's nothing in there, man. Let's get over to Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't want to read about David's mighty man. Oh, yeah, you do. Because in every page of this scripture, I don't care if it's a chapter that names the lineage of some of the descendants of the faith. If it's in there, it's breathed into there. And if it's breathed into there, it can breathe into you. And if you come at it with that angle and say, you know what, God, I just want to start here and I'm just going to walk with you and I want you to breathe life and breathe truth and breathe you into me through this word, you are going to start taking notes. You, some point in the middle of the day, you're going to go, wow, okay, I get it. Wow, I didn't even see that. That's amazing. I'd read that 100 times. That's beautiful. I'm going to journal right now because God's telling me some amazing stuff that he's unpacking out of this verse for my life. So there's three places we can all begin. You can pick something else if you don't want Mark, you don't want Psalm 84, and you just don't want to do Ephesians chapter 6, then you can pick something else. But those are three great places to start. And so how do we do it? How do we read? I want to give you five quick things, and then we'll close. Number one, you want to read with the big story. We talked about this a few weeks ago. I want to come back to it really briefly. And the big story is this. The last big story over all of Scripture is this, that God is reconciling the world to himself for his glory. So for me, my tendency is I just want to jump into the passage. So I want to jump right into Ephesians 6 and know that it's in the context of Ephesians 1 to 6 and know that that's in the context of God building the church and know that that's in the context of God giving his word. But all that is under the context of God's big banner mission in life, which is that God is reconciling the world to himself for his glory. So how does this connect with that? And that puts me in the big story of God. And that's going to help us no matter whether you're doing Mark, Psalm 84, Ephesians 6, or some other passage of Scripture. The second thing is that not only do you get the big story, but as you're reading, you rest in the word versus reading the word, checking the box, and moving on. Now, I'm going to tell you something about me that it's true, but I've been doing a reading plan, a couple of them, on my YouVersion app. Anybody doing any reading plans on your YouVersion app? And so, you know, anything that has a click box on it, it puts you in the wrong mindset right away. If you're me, because you want to click the box. So you do the reading, and then there's the scriptures, and you click that you read them, and then it says, good job, congratulations, you finished day three. And so sometimes I just want to click the boxes, because I get that email from them that says, you were doing pretty good, but you got day 8 and 9 to go. And then you go over there and just click the boxes on 8 and 9 so that it sends you the email that tells you you did really good. I'm sure you would have never done that. I think we have to press through the mentality that this is a to-do list. And we have to press into the idea that it's a you list. So that we don't fall into that temptation of saying, okay, I'm going to take your challenge, Louis. I'm going to do Ephesians 6. I'm going to knock it out because I'm a knock it out kind of guy. I'll spit this thing out before I get in the shower every morning, man. I will crush this. I will kill it. I will take this down like it was mighty Goliath. I will eat this up and spit it out again. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Praise God. I am loving that. Check box. I am done with verse 1. I'm going to go ahead and go to verse 2 because I feel it right now. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. I like that. I like promises. Awesome. I want to keep going. Hello, Louie. Congratulations, brother. I did the whole thing on the first day. Check. What's next? Well, what's next is that you back up and that you see this not as a project, but you see it as a relationship. And you see this not as words on a page, but breath on a page. And when you come to it, you just rest in it. You don't work in it. You don't, I got to get something out of it. I got to make something of it. I've got to get an insight so that I can tell my friend how smart I am. I can wow my neighbors. I can knock out my small group. I can just show off. Now you go, Lord, I just want to be with you. And I want to be in your word. And so I'm just going to rest here a minute. I might read it, sit, think. I might read it again, meditate, wait. I might read it again, pray, listen, read it again, respond. I'm just going to sit with it a minute. And you know, you can't read the whole Bible in 6 days doing that. But you can meet God every time that you do that. And that is the goal. The third thing is carry it with you. Don't make the mistake of just reading it at the house in the morning. Take it. Because there's going to be a moment that you're going to get a free moment in the day. And in that moment, God's going to want you to come back to Him in His Word. If you're in an environment where you can't carry a Bible, can't carry Scripture, it's just awkward or makes things awkward, or it's kind of in some way impeding, you know, the process of you trying to help people know Jesus, then that's okay. You got a smartphone for that. Or you can write it in the email it to yourself. You can put it in your notes on your phone. And people think you're just looking at text, or maybe you're just looking through your email and you're over there saying, no, I'm looking through Jesus and Mark chapter 5 is what I'm doing right here in between the meeting while we had a little extra moment. Everybody's having a coffee and everybody's kind of dialing down in their Instagram. I'm dialing down into God sitting over here. Carry it with you. Carry your scripture with you. Write the verses down. Take them with you. Photocopy the chapter 6, on a piece of paper. Is that allowed? Yes. Photocopy it and fold it up and put it in your pocket. And when you get a moment, unfold it. You got it all right there. Because I didn't have the space to take my whole scripture with me today, but I got Ephesians chapter 6 with me right here and right now. I mean, we used to laminate them. And we would take them anywhere waterproof. You could put them in the shower. You could sit them on the little ledge behind the bottle of shampoo in the shower. It's awesome. Taking it with you is the key, because it's a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. I remember when we would get to that little house, I didn't tell you this, Shelley will back me up on this, but the teacher, the house that we stayed in, we didn't find out till the first night when it got dark, and then we started turning lights on and none of the lights came on. And so we went the next day, we're like, hey man, something's up to power. Where's the deal? Said, oh, that teacher didn't pay their electricity bill last semester and they shut the power off to that unit. They're not turning that back on for a while. So every night we get there, by the grace of God, no puff adders. But when we got there, there was a space under the front door about this big. And you know where your water spout comes out into your tub and it's nice and caulked all around by the tile? Not so here. You can see outdoors around the water spout that's coming in to the tub, room enough for a cobra to come through. So every night we'd get there, and Shelly, bless her heart, I'd say, just stand right here. So we kind of eyeball it all, and like, all right, Lord Jesus, we pray the power, the blood, the name, the authority of Jesus on this circle right here. And then I'd get that flashlight. Actually, I'd light a candle, and I'd go through the whole apartment. And I mean, I'd look under here. I'd be like, Lord Jesus, all right, there's not a snake under that, all right? I'd look in our suitcases. I'd go in the bathroom. I'd look high and low because I know some of them drop on you. You know, I was looking everywhere. I would hold the thing up on the top of the piece of furniture. I'm like, no, he's not coiled up there waiting for us to come in. And then we'd finally search the whole house. And then we'd get ready for bed. You're like, man, you guys are wimps. Well, okay. You do it the way you want to do it. We searched the house. Got under the sheets, tucked the sheets in tight. Yes, we did. And that's what this is about. It's about searching the house, searching the office, searching this conversation I'm in right now. Searching out the journey today, searching out my meeting, searching out this hangout I'm about to have. It's taking this word with me into life. Number four, two of these were done. Interact with the author as you go. See, you know, there's a copyright on here who made these blueprints right down here. It tells who it is. I don't know them. At the bottom of this map right here is the copyright. Rand McNally. I don't know him. We've got Haynes Tech Book. I don't know him or her. But I actually know the author of this book. I know him. And so I have the privilege of having Mr. Haynes help me clean the gas tank in line. And I could just have Mr. Haynes here going, hey, when you were doing the gas tank in line, what's going on with that? And to think that we can interact with God as we go. God, that's amazing. God, you're amazing. God, I don't understand that. That's crazy. That's confusing to me. What is that all about? Can you help me with that?
God, that's not me. That's not where I am, but I want to be there. Oh, man, that just makes me want to stop and give praise right here and right now. So I'm sorry. We're going to have a little bit of praise right here, for that right there is incredible. Woo! You're amazing. And then fifthly, just journey in community. Journey in community. Don't make the mistake today of going, okay, I'll do Mark. Ask somebody to do Mark with you. Well, I don't know who would do it with me. Just ask. You'll be surprised. Ask a friend. Hey, you know what? I just committed. I'm going to do the month of May learning about Jesus in one of the Gospels, the four Gospels in Mark. Do you want to do it with me? Okay. Well, let's just take our verses each day, and you can shoot me a quick text, and I'll shoot you a quick text. I'll tell you one of the things that I thought God was teaching me, and you can tell me one of the things you thought God was teaching you. You're a businessman? Come on. How cool is that to think that you're texting another guy somewhere in America or the world every single day saying, this is what God spoke to me today. Well, this is what God spoke to me today. I was sitting with this today. I was sitting with this today. And that is the way God wants us to journey together. You ladies that are memorizing the scripture, man, come on, get you a partner. Call them up. Say, hey, let's talk at 2:30. Let's do the first seven verses together. You'll first, I'll second. Then you'll go again and I'll go again. And I'll help you get the words right. You'll help me get the words right. Because I want to get exactly right. I want to get it down in my heart. And then I'll tell you what God was speaking to me. You can tell me what God was speaking to you. 3:30? Cool. All right. You'll be in the carpool line. I'll be in the carpool line. We'll be doing seven verses together. Awesome. So all day long, what are you doing? You're taking it with you because you got seven verses to go. But you're not getting stuck on checking off the box. You're saying, God, speak to me. I want to see you. I want to know you. I want light on my path. I want your presence in my life. I want your voice speaking to me on the journey. And I want to walk on that path with somebody. I love it every day getting texts from another guy telling me what he's getting in his heart. And I love being able to send mine and saying, this is what God is doing to me. And it helps me know how to pray for him without him even asking. And it helps him know how to pray for me without me even asking. And it puts us in family, seeking after God through the breath on the pages, put the light on the path that gets us to the blueprint, yes, ultimately, but you know, who knows what that's going to look like. Key is that we take in the steps of God and avoiding the holes and the puff adders and stepping into the beauty. It has the payoff now and forever.